Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 117. It says, this is the smallest little verse, Psalm, and it's got the biggest message for us. It says, praise the Lord, all nations. It's like, praise the Lord, all nations. Got an exclamation mark at the end. Extol Him, all people. Worship Him. Extol Him. For great is His steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. He starts it with praise the Lord, and he ends it with praise the Lord. It's not a complicated psalm. It's not that we're going to have to wrestle with the Hebrew and look at it in the Greek. He's saying, praise the Lord. That's why I'm saying it's 117. I'm trying to burn that into your head. It's the simplest thing. But he says, praise the Lord. Praise, let everything and everybody praise the Lord. All peoples. And then he tells us why. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. But before I get to that, I just want to remind you where we're at in our month of preaching. We've been talking about worship. We've been talking about it in different aspects of it. And parts of worship, we looked at holiness, living an animated Christian life. We talked about the cost of worship, bringing our best to God. We've been talking about a lifestyle of worship. We worship God with our entire life, bringing an acceptable worship. If we talk about worship as our entire life, then he's talking, and Paul, the writer of Hebrews, tells us what acceptable sacrifices are. And it's basically our life. We're living lives that are pleasing to God, a lifestyle of worship. And today I want to talk about corporate worship, about all of us being involved. And my wife's been after me to get a good title, and I don't know if I've got a good title, but movement's required. You know, there's no armchair quarterbacks when it comes to worship. There's not them and us. There's no place for spectators. All people, all nations, praise the Lord. That's what Psalm says. Praise the Lord. So if we look back at our mission statement, you want to put that first slide up. Representing God's truth and love to the world through a genuine community. It's wonderful to put those things up there, but from that, our vision around that is then living for God, loving others, and serving the community. None of it is new. None of it is particularly unique just to us, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad that these truths of loving God, loving one another, and taking that gospel message to the whole world, representing that as a community to the entire world, is not a new concept, but we've been trying to encourage each other to do it. It says, you know, if you'd put it in other words, I think it's on there, to reflect the grace of God. I think this is Tim Keller, or one of those guys. Their English is much more delicious than mine. But it's like to reflect the grace of God back to Him in worship. To apply the grace of God to each other for the edification and faith and love. You know, these are great truths, but God help us to do them. And then he says to extend the grace of God to unbelievers in domestic evangelism and frontier missions. So, you know, whoever's saying it, we're saying the same thing. And I read mission statements and I read things on churches, and you can change it around, you can mix it up, but it's about love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. It comes back to the basic truths of the gospel. So when we're talking about worship and everybody being involved, and that's the aspect that I want to touch on, that first one of living for God, of showing, reflect the grace of God back to Him in worship, however you word that, that's what my message is this morning. That all of us, have that responsibility in praise, in lives, in our giving of our sacrifices. You know, don't make me preach Jordan's message over again, but just bringing the best, bringing that sacrifice of time and effort and money that cost us something. You know, you think of sometimes planting a garden, planting a crop, raising an animal, doing whatever it takes to bring an offering to God that's acceptable to Him. Not just giving them the leftovers. I've often said it as an evangelist. One of my favorite things is to see young people make a commitment to Jesus. When I got to pray with Ryder the other day to give his heart to the Lord, whether it's the first or the 20th time, it's fine. Just that becomes real. And I rejoice in is to see that God saves not only a soul for eternity, but He saves a whole life. Get to live a whole life for God. Get to live for Jesus for your whole life. It's not like at the end of many years of frustration, okay, God, help me, save me. Do that if that's what has to happen. But how much better, you know, Lori and my children, different ones. Like, there's huge testimonies in this church of kids at 4 years old kneeling by their mom's bed and saying, Jesus, be Lord of my life. He saves a whole life, a whole lifetime. Does it mean we'll never make a mistake? No. Does it mean we'll never have problems? Of course not. But it means God is with us and He's walking with us through it. So here's a question that I want to pose to you. I think it's on there. Do you delight more and more in the majesty and the glory of God? Does your heart incline to worship God more consistently and intelligently and earnestly and intensely today than it did 5 years ago? That's the question. And whoever was writing this article, the challenge was, as a church, why do we have a mission statement? Why do we put down a vision statement? So we can kind of hold it up there and woo! No, so we can measure ourselves. And here's the question that when it comes to worship, how you doing? Are you doing better than 5 years ago? Is your love for God passionate? Is it growing? Is it, you know, and I'm not talking about every day, sometimes we have this picture of just, you know, a choir singing before heaven. Woo, and sometimes it's not like that. But is your desire and your heart intensely growing that grace to worship God? I pray that it is. I pray that if it isn't, you would repent. You'd cry out to God. I've gone through many seasons in life. I've served the Lord since I was 15. And life is good and life is tough. And you go through circumstance. And it's not like every day I just want to wake up singing. Just ask my wife. Ask Matthew. He's the one who keeps us the most honest. It's, you know, you just float out of bed and it's just choir singing in heaven and beautiful. And it's not always like that. Has it ever been like that? I don't know. Maybe there was that one time in 1976. I can remember worshiping God when I was younger, and it seemed much easier than it is now. I don't know why. I was more enthusiastic. I was more emotional or whatever. I don't know. I just remember some camp meetings, and I remember circumstances. Just, wow. And I'm saying, Lord, I just want to be able to grow my desire to worship God. It's got to be more than 5 years ago. A desire to love Him. You know, if you're asking the question, that's about God. So answer that for yourself. Is your relationship with God growing? Is your living for God a greater passion, a greater desire in your life? Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. If you answered yes to, well, there's a few more questions relating to the other aspects of loving one another, and I could ask you questions around that, or has your heart grown for domestic and frontiers, for the ends of the earth? What's God speaking to you about this church? What's God speaking to you about reaching the world? Is your heart and passion growing in all these areas? Loving God and loving one another, living for God and serving one another and showing a community what it means to serve God. Is it growing? And I'm saying, God, help us. And when you go through times, when you go through seasons, and I've been through seasons, that's what I was trying to say earlier, and you don't feel it. It's not like, wow, but it's like, I know that I know that I know. I have decided I'm going to follow God. You know, it's like Peter saying to Jesus, show me something else. Who else has the words of life? Where else can we go but to God? There is nowhere else. And we come back and we say, God, show us. Show us the joy of serving you. Show us the pleasures of God every day. Your mercies that are new every day. Amen? So, on that theme, worship is for everyone. And the title I was given is Movement is Required. There are no armchair quarterbacks. You say, who gave you that? Well, we have a few of us that plan the themes for the month. And we're talking about worship. And the whole idea of corporate worship, the whole idea of us coming together and worshiping God together. And the bigger theme of that is, each one of us, and someone said it in the prayer meeting today, is that we each come with gifts. We each come with something to bring. And when we bring it all together, it's a beautiful bouquet. It's a beautiful symphony. It's a beautiful picture of worship to God. And we look at this group of people, and we think how God is working in all our lives together. It's a testimony to God's faithfulness. Amen? It's a testimony of how God is. And sometimes we're feeling good, and sometimes we're in that, you know, the song says, on the mountaintop and in the valley below, I'll still be singing. Like, there's times on the mountain, there's times when we're not in the mountain. We need each other. We encourage one another. So let's look at the Psalm 117 for a few minutes. 117. I hope that bugs you so much that I said it 50 times that you'll remember that. Next Sunday, I'll say, what psalm did I preach from last week? And I bet you won't even remember. I bet by the time we get to the picnic, you won't remember. Oh, Lord, it's those people. It's the smallest psalm with the biggest message. So first of all, there's the person. I put my 3 points. You can go to that slide. Person, the priority, and the passion. See how short my message is? But each one of those has 6 sub-points, so just relax. Enjoy the day. So, this little psalm. Maybe put the psalm back up. That's more interesting than that. He says, praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a command. The person that we praise is God. No one else. There is no one else who deserves our worship. God is number one. God is the focus of our praise and our adoration. He's the focus of our love for Him. He is the focus this morning. And, you know, I just want to encourage you. I don't know how the service is going to go, how we're going to end, but if we sing a song at the end or whatever we do, man, I just pray that as the chords are played, our hearts will be focused on God. Even if it's just for a moment. When we worship this morning, just God would be the one who we focus on. I've preached on it. We've all read the Beatitudes before. Blessed, you know, blessed, to be envied are those, you know, who... Sorry, I'm just fixing my mic. But it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Do you remember my preach on that? Come on. Be honest. Lucky bums. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. And I'll have to preach that message over again. I'll keep preaching it until you remember it. You guys are serious this morning. What is it? The gray skies? What's happening? Want me to tell more jokes? But we started on the end. The goal, the prize. You know, blessed, that's cool. Are the pure in heart. Okay, we'll get there. But the goal of this whole thing is to see God, to know God, to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. God is the prize. God is why we come. God is who we worship. It's for God and for His glory that we come and sing. Sometimes, you know, we encourage our worship team. We say, you know, they encourage each other. They teach each other. They practice their songs. They do their best to lead us amazingly. And then it comes to you and me to decide we are going to praise God. I don't care who's beside me. I don't care what's going on next week. I don't care what's happening down the street. I don't care if I have a picnic lunch or I don't. I am going to praise God. And I'm going to worship Him and give Him what's due His name. I will not offer to God sort of a half-sad story. I'm going to worship Him. Whatever my circumstances, up or down, whatever they are, we worship God. And He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. He's the prize. He's the only prize. He's the only one that's worthy of our praise. So it's the person that we praise. The priority, He says, praise and worship. This is all coming out of the psalm. He says, is commanded for everyone. The psalms tells us, praise the Lord. It is to be done by all nations, given from all peoples. Praise, worship, honor, and glory is to be given to God, whether you are old or young, rich or poor, smart or not as smart, an emotional person or an analytical one, a hipster or a hippie, anyone else. We are to worship God irrespective of our place or our personality. Amen? I've had many people say to me, well, it's not my personality. I would like to tell you, get over your personality. You are commanded to praise God. You are commanded to worship. That can look different. That's fine. But somebody said it in the prayer meeting, I think it was Sherry, engage. Amen? Do you remember that word? Engage. When we're worshiping, engage. When the word of God is preached, engage. When you're singing, engage. Because what you're doing is important to God and important to us. To yourself. Important to me. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, why we worship. But engage. Be in the moment. It's kind of like when your kids come and I remember it was one of Marcy's kids and she's trying to get Marcy's attention. I'll use her today. She's mom. You know how mums. I heard little David say, mom. And you look over and you think, that mother is amazing. She's just carrying on. And it was Marcy's oldest daughter. And says, mom. We hear this little voice, mom. Marcy's busy. And then she says, help. Help International. And Marcy finally, what? What do you want? Help International was the name of the ministry that Marcy worked for, the powerful evangelist for a time. And she was so excited to be related to that evangelist. We are commanded to worship. And it doesn't matter who you are. What I'm saying is, you know, let's not be distracted. Let's worship God. He deserves the best. Let's worship Him as though our lives depend on it. Let's worship Him as though the whole world needs to hear our voices praising God. You know, if you go through the Psalms, just read them sometime. We're reading through the Psalms 3 times a year with our Bible reading. How you doing on that, by the way? This year's been a little tougher to be consistent every day, but we're getting there. But we're going through the Psalms every 3 months. You go through them and through them and through them. And it's amazing how he asked God to bless him, and he asked God all these things. But the whole point of it is so that the glory of God can be shown to the ends of the earth. It's not just so I can be wealthy and healthy, although praise God for wealth and health. Thank God that He blesses us. But it's then David's the one who's saying it over and over. He said, so that your name can go to the ends of the earth, so that your glory will be seen, so that everyone can taste and see that God is good. Know that He is good and know His mercies which are new every morning. And that's why we praise God. And it's for everybody, no matter what your circumstances are. You can say to me, oh, if you just knew where I'm at today, I'd still have to say to you, praise God. Praise God. In the pit, in the valley, praise God. When you don't understand what's going on, praise God. It's for everyone. All nations, all people, praise God. That's what the Psalm says. Worship is a duty of every human being. This is still under the first one, trust me. Remember the words of Jesus. The devil attacked him in Matthew 4 verse 8. He says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him alone shall you serve. Just imagine, if that's Jesus' understanding, he's the one saying, worship God. That is our duty, to worship God and Him alone. How much more for you and me? And that's why, you know, the devil offered Jesus all the kingdoms of this world. And he said, no, get behind me. Only God is to be worshipped. And it's a scary thing when you see people give up their love and relationship for God, or that opportunity to worship God, or that opportunity to show forth His glory, or that opportunity to be a testimony at that moment, or whatever the circumstance, or some even with their entire life, they give that up for not all the kingdoms of the whole world, but for a bowl of porridge, as it were, for a moment, for a relationship, or for prestige or pride or whatever it is. They miss those moments. They miss a lifetime for some of giving glory to God. And it's our duty this morning. And it sounds like, you know, that's serious. It is serious. To praise God is not an option. To praise God is not when I feel like it. We have been commanded to worship God and worship Him alone. And all that that means. And we've been talking about worship and what it means. To bring our lives, to bring our sacrifice, to bring our best, to bring who we are, to bring everything to God. That's our reasonable sacrifice, our reasonable service. To live a sacrificial life to God, a living sacrifice for God. Worship is our privilege. It's a duty, but it's also a privilege. We become what we worship. No country or person has ever risen above what they worship, the God they worship. You worship finance. You worship a person. You worship all kinds of idols. I could start naming the idols we worship. And every one of us has to battle with the idols in our life. The things that want to just crowd in and absorb our finance, absorb our time, absorb our thinking, absorb us. And it's God and God alone who deserves to be worshipped. And it's our privilege to be able to rise up and to worship Him and to expand our world and to see the meaning of our world. And we've preached that many, many times, that we as Christians are the only ones who can really understand what this point of this life is. We're the only ones who can understand the joy of a good holiday in the summer. You say, well, everybody else seems to be enjoying it. But I'm telling you, if that's all you have, you don't enjoy it like you should. Because as a Christian, we see it in the big purpose of God. We see it in the fulfillment of eternity past and eternity coming. We see the plans of God. And we can even take a holiday and sit on a beautiful ocean and look at Four Mile Beach in Australia and say, wow! Look at what God has done. Look at the amazing beauty of this place. And you see it as for what it's worth. It doesn't consume your life. It's just a testimony of God's amazingness. And then you go and live your life and you love your family and you do your thing. Whatever it is, nothing should take the place of worshiping God. And that's what lifting Him up does. It focuses and makes sense out of our life and what we're doing. Makes sense out of being born. Makes sense out of these 60, 80, 100 years that we get on this earth. Makes sense of eternity. When you lift up God, you start to understand your place and His place and who He is. I think I said it in the other sermon, but worship makes us consider God. That's what worship does. That's why we worship. Just to consider God. And it also makes us consider ourselves and look at ourselves and put ourselves into that right perspective of who we are and what we are. And causes us to repent, causes us to rejoice, causes us to cry out, causes us to worship more. We worship God because we have to. We get to, but we have to. And I've already talked about it, but it's good for us. We were created to worship. We were created as a spiritual being to worship. And we will worship something. And I'm challenging you this morning to make God that place. Put God in that place of worship in your life. Worship Him alone is what Jesus said. And the last one is passion. The reason we praise and worship is because of His steadfast love, the psalm says. The best way I can explain the love of God is what Jesus did on the cross. The whole entire weight of the love of God is brought to bear on the cross where Jesus gave His life. It comes to focus of God's amazing love for us. We praise the Lord because of His steadfast love. God's love was sent towards us, packaged in His Son, Jesus. It's the greatest act of love the world has ever seen. Christ died on a cross for your sins and for my sins. There's no other greater act of love to be seen. John, 1 John 4 says it this way. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be an atonement for our sins. Just think of it. We can't do it. I can't do it. But imagine Jesus appears this morning in our church. And he's here because he came with us. He's in us. He's here by his Spirit. But just use your imagination this morning. Jesus. Whatever that picture comes to mind for you. I always, when I have a picture of Jesus, many times it's on the cross, but many times it's standing on a boat with the waves and the wind, and he's got one hand, and he had hair like Herman used to have. Sorry, Herman. And the wind is blowing, the sea is in his face, and he's a man's man, and it's tanned, and he's got calluses, and he's God. And he's standing there, and he just speaks to the waves, and he just says, "Peace, be still." I just love those pictures. But imagine Jesus is here. Whatever picture comes to mind to you, with a baby, with whatever story, with a woman kneeling and writing in the dirt. I don't know what pictures you have in your mind or what comes to mind, but there is no greater picture of God's love than of him. Him walking through us today. And if he was here, he would come and he'd put his hand on us. Peace. Go sin no more. Be free. Be healed. I don't know what he would speak to people. He would speak to us. He'd say, "Calm down. It's okay. Life's okay. You're going to get through. This illness might even be to death. But I got a bigger plan." I don't know. What would Jesus say to you if he came to you and said, right into your heart and into your life? To me, there is no bigger picture of God's love than God sent his Son to come and walk among us and be with us. He loves us. That's why we worship. You know, I shared my little story sitting in the conference there in Hillsong, at the Hillsong conference, and that song, "The Vapor of Your Breath." I got to cry again. I don't know why that song. I just like sitting there crying, listening to that song. There's something good God did in my heart. "The vapor of your breath, the planets form. With no point of reference, you spoke into the dark, created light. 100 billion galaxies. 100 billion failures fall." You know, don't make me read that song again. One day I'll sing it. No, I won't, because it'll ruin the whole thing. Better to have a nice picture in your mind. Imagine Jesus here this morning. What would he say to you? "I love you. I forgive you. I healed you." And he is here today. Amen. We praise him because of his love, but we praise him lastly because of the Lord, because of his faithfulness that endures forever. Could you just put the verse back up? Oh, you did. Thank you. See, you are so good. "Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards..." I could spend all day on that line. "And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." He says it like three different ways just in that verse. He says the faithfulness endures forever. His faithfulness. His faithfulness. We worship him because God is faithful. Means something like fidelity. He's faithful. Think of examples in your life of faithful people. Laurie and I were talking about it this morning in bed. She thinks of her father. She said she thinks of her father and she thinks of me. Faithful. I'm faithful. I'm faithful to my wife. I am faithful. But our fathers, our mothers, spiritual leaders in your life. I don't know. What comes to mind of the faithfulness of God? And then relate that to God. I've seen God. My best example, I often quoted it, but I think of the times when it became real that my father had his own personal faith in Christ to me. I met with him and I've shared that story in the hospital and talked with him. And shortly after that, we're back in South Africa, and my son Kyle, he was around 13 at that time, and became so evident and so real that the faith that he had was his, not mine. It's hard to explain it. It's more of a spiritual thing in my life. And it was like God said, not only I saved you, and I was just rejoicing that God saved me, but I saved your father, and I just saw it, and I saved your son, and I just saw it. You know what I mean? When that faith becomes theirs and it's not yours. I see it in my kids, and the faithfulness of God. He's so wonderful. And he's faithful. Endures means he's in it for the long haul. Means God is with us through the long haul. You know, the scripture says, you know, he's faithful if we're faithful. And if we're not faithful, he remains faithful. He's never unfaithful. He's faithful. The problem, you know, if you say God's moved far away and God seems quite distant, well, somebody's moved and it's not God. Somebody needs to make a move and it's not God. We are the ones that need to come back. He endures. He's faithful. He's long term. He's in it for the long haul. He didn't say I do at the altar and 6 months later say, well, I don't anymore. Or you get all kinds of marriage vows. I'm committed to you as long as I love you. Yeah. That could last till Monday morning. God is in it for the long haul. And forever. He's faithful, endures forever. Well, I've done an extensive Greek study on forever, and it means forever. It means for a really long time. Forever. He's faithful, he's faithful. Do you love God? Do you love that he loves us? I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Let's sing one more song today. Let's worship for a few moments. When we talk about worship and corporate worship and worshiping with our whole lives, it's for everyone. And I know our worship teams. I know the leaders. One of them is my daughter, Herman, Robin, Doug leads a team. There's leaders of teams and then there's people that sing with them. None of them want to force anyone into worship. They love to worship. These are musicians. These are people who worship. That's why they're doing what they do. That's why they come and practice. That's why they come on a Sunday early and practice their skills. And on a summer weekend, they're here to bless, to lead us. And the reason I say that is when we encourage them, and when they encourage you to sing, let's worship, let's come, sit close, let's be part of this. It's not because they're needy. It's because we love God. And as pastors, you know, sometimes we get a bulge in our throat and we can praise the Lord. The Bible says all nations extol him, bless him. It's because he's worthy and it's because it's good for us. It's because we... Man, if you can just taste and see what it means to worship God together. So I don't want to be the big stick this morning. I want us to worship him. I want us to just take a few moments. And there's no limit on this thing. Most of us who were at camp this summer, we didn't even sing as the ministry ended. We just sat in the presence of God. I don't know. God spoke some deep things into lives in the quiet. So it's about God, okay? So it's not about getting really loud or really quiet, but praise the Lord. Let everybody praise the Lord. And let their hearts, you know, engage in this thing. Because God deserves it. We need it. And it's amazing what happens when people praise the Lord. He comes. Our praises are like a altar. We build a throne before God and he comes by his spirit and heaven kisses earth. And I try to use every beautiful picture I can. But if we as a congregation will lift him up, I tell you, he's here to minister. He's here to bless. He's here to encourage. So I'm going to ask you to just stand with me. I'm going to ask us to sing. Robin and the guys, whatever, just be free if you want to just worship. And I'm asking you to worship this morning. Take a few minutes. You came all the way to this side of the city. Some of you drive far. You left your plans and you came this morning. Let's worship Him. He is worthy of praise. He's worthy of honor this morning.